Building Bridges, your community and labor report, produced and hosted by Mimi Rosenberg and Ken Nash. I'm Mimi Rosenberg.
And I'm Ken Nash. Later on Building Bridges, McCainonomics versus Obamanomics. But first, this contribution from Robert Greenwald and the Brave New PAC team, entitled Less Jobs, More War. What is this Iraq War charge on my bill?
Please continue to hold, and we'll be with you shortly.
Thank you for holding. How can I be of service to you today?
Yes, I have this recurring charge on my monthly statement, and I can't figure out what it's for.
Well, we'll certainly do our best to help you. What does the charge say on your statement?
Well, it's a $275 charge, and it just says Iraq War.
Yes, ma'am, that is correct. The Iraq War cost the average American family over $16,000 since the war started.
Are you kidding? Well, I never signed up for that.
I'm sorry, ma'am. You don't sign up for the Iraq War charge. It's a standard charge for all Americans.
Well, that doesn't make any sense. I'm going to need to speak to your supervisor.
I'm sorry. He's vacationing at the ranch this week. But while you're still in the line, can I interest you in our new monthly Iran War charge?
No, you cannot.
Well, we appreciate your help in the fight against the evildoers. Thanks for calling the United States. You have a great
day. There's going to be other wars. I'm sorry to tell you, there's going to be other wars. We will never surrender, but there will be other wars. And right now, we're going to have a lot of PTSD to treat.
We'll have more from Robert Greenwald later on, including McCain on the new GI Bill and McCain singing Bomb, 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 Bomb Iran. But now...
For over a generation, in so-called good times and bad, incomes of all but the rich have fallen while poverty has increased in the Bush years. And that was before the economic crisis that began last year. Barack Obama is addressing these issues, but is his plan enough? While McCain hardly recognizes it's still the economy, stupid.
We're joined by Dean Baker, co-director of the Center for Economic Policy and Research, to decide whether McCainonomics exists and whether Obamanomics is enough. And good evening, Dean.
Thanks for having me on.
Well, why don't we start with that? And, well, no, let's backtrack. Let's just define some of the major issues confronting, I was going to say the local, but I guess it's really the world economy at this point.
Well, I'd say there's two things, you know, in speaking of the U.S. economy. First off, we've had this massive upward redistribution of income that's gone on for most of the last three decades. We did have some good years at the end of the 90s, but for most of this period, the gainers, pretty much the only gainers from growth, have been the top 5, perhaps top 10% of the population. Most workers have seen virtually nothing from the benefits of economic growth. On top of that, we've had rapid increases in health care costs, which have meant both that more and more people are going uninsured, but then on top of that, even those who are insured are finding that they have increasing co-pays. They have, you know, more and more expenses associated with health care. So those are two long-term trends that we've been seeing. Now, on top of that, we have the crisis you alluded to, that we've had a housing bubble the last, you know, 6-7 years that has collapsed beginning back in 07. And that's leading to, you know, this financial crisis, the bankruptcies of Fannie Mae, Freddie Mac, other banks that, you know, constantly going down day after day. We hear more banks going down. And then on top of that, you know, the problem that hits home, I mean, millions of people losing their home and tens of millions that have seen most of the equity in their home disappear. So we've got a really, really bad economic situation at the moment.
And presidential candidate McCain How would he address this situation? Or does he think there is a situation to address?
Well, recently he was, he was saying that the fundamentals are strong. And, you know, Phil Graham, I don't like to play gotcha, but this guy was his top economic advisor. He called the country a nation of whiners. I mean, by all lights, they don't see a problem. He thinks things are fine, and maybe that's true for him and his friends. But, you know, he gives every appearance as not indicating his any understanding whatsoever that there's even a problem.
Well, does he have any economic proposals at all that would address any part of this?
No, I mean, his main plan is he wants to have more tax breaks for high-income people, and these are exactly what people are doing well. So, you know, he wants to give more money to people who are doing very well. There is no reason whatsoever. I mean, it's sort of like, hey, I'm going to go out and beat up the next person I see on the street. Maybe they'll make me feel good, but it's sure not going to help the economy. And it's like the same thing. You know, you want to give more money to rich people, go ahead and do it. But why on earth would you think that's going to help the economy?
There's no trickle-down effect?
No. I mean, you know, this is like, how many times do we have to go through this? We did this in the 80s with Reagan. We just did it with Bush. I mean, do we have to do it 60 more times before we realize it doesn't work? You know, no, there's no trickle-down effect. It's just nonsense.
Well, as one of the people it's not trickling down to, I want to switch for
trickle
a moment.
Down on.
Well, perhaps, yes. Well, let's go from then, we're looking at what, the division between Wall Street and Main Street. So where does that take us in terms of the policies of Barack Obama? Are they any more astute? Are they any more tailored to meet the needs of the poor and the working poor?
Well, there's a mixed bag. I mean, you know, Senator Obama does want to take back the tax breaks for the richest people. He's talked about some tax breaks that would go to low, moderate-income people would help them out. You know, it's not going to solve all their problems. The biggest thing that he's talked about, if he actually gets it through, is his health care plan. I mean, if he actually gets the health care plan he proposed through Congress, that would be a massive change. It would give, you know, tens of millions of people security in their health care. That, to my mind, is the most important thing, because most of us, you know, I'm in this boat. If I got sick, I'd lose my job, and once I lost my job, I don't have health care coverage. You know, so most people are in that boat. Obama's plan would take care of that. It would begin to get costs under control. It's not the whole solution, but it's a very, very good, important first step. Now, does he confront Wall Street? Well, you know, he's hesitant on that. And, you know, it's not a secret that he's got some Wall Street people who are very up close to him. And to my mind, I mean, Wall Street's the core of the problem. We had the stock bubble, we had the housing bubble, we had this nonsense of Merrill Lynch at Citigroup, you know, on down the road. These guys are the enemies, you know. So it's sort of like, we're going to bring both sides of a gunfight together and, you know, see what happens. You know, we've had the people who have been shooting at us who are right there at the center of his campaign. That's not good news. So he's proposed some things that are very good, but, you know, just as in the Clinton administration, the real conflicts between the Wall Street people and, you know, the more populist labor types and the Wall Street people won out, I think you'll see the same sort of battle here. And to my mind, at least, I hope the outcome would be different.
There was a rather comprehensive article, nothing that was unusual, but comprehensive nevertheless, article that appeared in the Sunday's New York Times about a week ago. And there, it was almost described as though there was a kind of genteel capitalism and a balance between the earlier days of Robert Reich and Robert Rubin. If you could flesh out more of the sensitivities economically of the Obama candidacy, I think that would be helpful.
Well, you know, there's a lot of issues where there have been big differences between, you know, Robert Reich and Robert Rubin. Somewhere I think there's probably a lot of agreement. So, for example, having a higher minimum wage, I'm pretty confident Robert Rubin and, you know, the other Wall Street people agree on that. Doing something in health care where their plans might go, I think, would be different. But I think extending health care coverage to more people is a place where they would agree. Where you'd get big differences are on areas like trade, where the trade policy pursued in the Clinton administration was very class biased, very one-sided. It was about putting non-college educated workers in competition with people in the developing world, which puts downward pressure on their wages. I mean, that's, you know, arguing over that just amazing me. Why would we have an argument? You know, if I brought in a million economists who are willing to work for half my wage, what happens to my wage? It falls. I mean, that's, you know, that was what the Clinton administration trade policies were about, and that's one that Robert Rubin strongly supports. I won't even speak for Reich because I really don't know, but at least many people on the populist side of that would say, no, those aren't the best trade policies for the country to be pursuing. And then, you know, with the financial markets, Rubin is give the financial markets everything. And, you know, I'm not going to put these words in Robert Reich's mouth because I don't know he adheres to that, but at least many populists who support Senator Obama would like to see Wall Street reined in. They see that as, you know, basically a drain on the U.S. economy. We've had this huge explosion in the financial sector that doesn't by itself produce anything. I mean, the financial sector serves a very, very important and useful purpose in allocating money from people who want to save to those who want to invest, who want to buy a home. I mean, it serves a very, very important purpose. But we don't want to see it taking up half the economy, and it's getting close to that. I mean, that's an exaggeration, but the point is it just keeps growing and growing and growing, and it's not clear we're getting anything for that. So in that respect, you know, to my mind, it's a huge distortion. Also, I should point out, I mean, you get these salaries on Wall Street. You get people getting $30, $40, $50 million a year, and it's just kind of mind-boggling because you go, what do they do for that money? You know, in the case of the people at Citigroup and Merrill Lynch, they drove these companies into the ground. They're on the edge of bankruptcy, but yet you have people pocketed tens of millions, hundreds of millions of dollars. I mean, this is a real serious cancer in the economy, and, you know, to my mind, that puts it directly at odds with the interests of the bulk of the population.
Well, I mean, there is more to the Obama campaign with regard to the economic question, but is any of it enough? Do we need to go beyond that, and what should be done? We are in a crisis right now. Does anything in Obama's nomics address that crisis?
I mean, absolutely, we're going to have to go beyond it. I mean, he's proposed, I've given him a little short shrift. He has a very good energy policy. He's been talking about promoting alternative fuels, fuel-efficient cars, infrastructure. But I think what's going to be really important, really fundamental, is getting the dollar down. And this, again, takes us directly at odds with the Wall Street people, because many of our problems over the last decade have stemmed from the fact that we have a hugely overvalued dollar, which in turn has led to a massive trade deficit, which basically meant, you know, when you get these huge trade deficits, you almost have to have a very large budget deficit and or very low savings. It virtually required the sort of financial bubbles that we had over the last decade, and first the stock market and then the housing market. So the dollar is really central here. People don't like to talk about it, but they should, because it's really, really important. We've got to get it down, and that, again, takes us directly at odds with Robert Rubin, who thinks a high dollar is a good thing.
Well, one of the things that continues to hit me is the growing income disparity. But within that context, there's been neither really an address to the real rural areas, nor has there been any mention that I have seen relevant to urban areas and the economics of urban areas, which have everything to do with, of course, the leaving of manufacturing sectors and these things that have been growing, and the abandonment now that is happening as a result of massive foreclosure in urban areas. So where is the economic proposals relevant to the infrastructure, to those kind of considerations?
Well, this has been one of the items in the mix for Senator Obama, but to really do it seriously, you're talking about real money. I mean, so, you know, you could talk about some nickel and dime things that will allow for some improvements in urban infrastructure, improving mass transit, you know, doing some brownfield development, all of which are good things. But to really do that on the scale that's required to rebuild our cities, that's a huge amount of money, and that would involve a real commitment. And not to say that that commitment isn't there, but it's at least not clear that that's there. There's going to be a lot of competing agendas, you know, if Senator Obama gets in the White House, and obviously that's going to be one of them, but, you know, I can't say for sure that that one will win out.
Well, he's got a small stimulus package in there right now. I think it's about $50 billion, but is that enough to stimulate the economy to get us out of this mess?
No, not by itself. I mean, again, a lot depends on what else happens, and, you know, I keep mentioning the dollar. That's hugely important, because ultimately, what is going to get the economy back on its feet is something closer to a trade balance. Right now, we have a trade deficit that's more than 5% of GDP. It doesn't have to be balanced, but the point is it has to be somewhere in the ballpark. We could have a 1% of GDP, but that's a real big shift, and we're not going to get that quickly. We're not going to get that at all unless the dollar comes down a lot. So, you know, a $50 billion stimulus, I think, could be a good thing. The stimulus we had earlier this year was a good thing, but it's not. By themselves, those aren't going to be enough to get the economy back on its feet. When the stock bubble crashed in 2001, we had a very bad recession. I mean, it was short-lived by the official recession, but we kept losing jobs, not just in the recession 2001, but we kept losing jobs through 2002 and two-thirds of the way through 2003, and we didn't really start creating jobs again until the housing bubble pulled the economy out of that recession. So we got out of one bubble through the creation and expansion of another bubble. I always say it's like the alcoholic, you know, you deal with the hangover by starting on the next one. That's not a good way to go. Now, I don't see another bubble on the horizon, so I don't see a bubble to lift us out of this downturn, what we really need to do that is to get the dollar down to boost our exports. We've seen some of that already, but we need much, much more. And I think that's the only way that we'll really get the economy back on its feet.
And the foreclosure crisis and the banking crisis, how will that be impacted by the dollar and other factors?
Well, that will get the economy growing, but, you know, the foreclosure crisis is a result of the collapse of the housing bubble. I mean, this is one that was just ungodly painful because anyone who cared to look, and I'm talking about people like myself, economists, people who do this stuff for a living. I don't blame a typical homeowner for not analyzing the housing market. I blame an economist who was too dumb to see the housing bubble. So you had a lot of people get houses at bubble inflated prices where they're going to fall 10, 15, 20%, in some places 30, 40, and 50%. It was guaranteed. We didn't know the timing, but we knew that was going to happen. And you encourage people to do it, particularly low and moderate income people. Those people should be, you know, get a good kick in the rear because they were going to get you getting people into trouble. And then on top of that, of course, you had these crazy loans that many people were taking out that just exacerbated the problem. There's no way to fix that. We're not going to get house prices back up, nor should we want to. What you could try to do is help those people out. I mean, I had a proposal that not a lot of interest in on here. It's called Own to Rent that allows people who are facing foreclosure stay in their house as long-term renters. They could stay there paying the market rent for 20 years under – it was actually introduced as a bill by Representative Grijalva from Tucson. But there's not a lot of interest because that's not good for the banks. But that's I think, you know, like the way we should be looking because we're not going to prop up house prices, but we can try to keep people in their homes. But, you know, it's a real bad situation that would have been preventable if the people get paid to think we're thinking.
September is the month where a lot of the economic reports come in. And by all reports, it looks fairly grim in terms of, I won't even say job creation, but job loss and issues of that sort. How do you think that McCain and Obama are prepared to, if they are, and if so, how, address the issue of job creation and or, of course, what happens to workers as jobs are lost?
You know, job creation will depend on larger economic growth. And, you know, as I said, McCain's policy is basically tax cuts, tax cuts, tax cuts. And somehow, I don't know whether he thinks that will do anything, but in any case, he says that's, you know, that's his remedy. And it's not just tax cuts across the board. It's tax cuts to higher-end people, corporate tax cuts. That's basically his, you know, his recipe for everything. Senator Obama has a more broad-based plan where he is talking about directing tax cuts towards more low- and moderate-income people. You know, he does have his plans on infrastructure, green infrastructure. I mean, you know, to my mind, it makes a lot of sense, both because it can reduce our energy consumption, greenhouse gas emission, at the same time that we increase employment. But this, as I say, it's not by itself going to turn the economy around. It's helpful, but it's certainly not sufficient.
And I think that proposal is about $150 billion over 10 years. I mean, if you could do it in 1 year, if you could get the money from the end of the Iraq War, would that really help?
It's more in the ballpark, but again, we really, it's very much in the right direction. It's not sufficient, but it's very much in the right direction. If we don't turn around the trade deficit, you know, it's very hard to see a long-term path that could be sustained. But, you know, if we could shut down the Iraq War and divert that money towards, you know, rebuilding our infrastructure, supporting education, you know, addressing a lot of the neglected needs that we've built up over the last decade, you know, that would be hugely beneficial to the economy. It's not everything, but it's a very, very big step. And again, you know, that's, you know, these are the sorts of things Senator Obama's talked about. None of them will be easy. There'll be all sorts of political opposition. To some extent, he's made commitments that are contradictory. So not that he stands out that way. Presidential candidates do that. But, you know, there'll have to be pressure to get him to carry through on his commitment to end the war, to, you know, divert that money towards rebuilding our infrastructure. And, again, those will be important steps in the right direction. Won't be sufficient to address all our economic problems, but it will get us in the right direction.
Dean Baker, thank you very much for all the good work you do. And Dean Baker is the co-director of the Center for Economic Policy and Research, and I advise people to go to that website because it is chock full of important information that we need to know at this extremely difficult time. After all, I guess it is the economy stupid, probably one of the only slogans they ever came up with or realities behind a slogan that had any logic to it in terms of the Republicans. So there.
Thanks,
Dean,
God for me on.
Thank you very much for being with
Thanks
us.
Thanks a lot.
Take all you give.
against the backdrop of Randy Newman, dear Mr. President, have pity on the working man.
And now from Robert Greenwald and the Brave New PAC team, why won't McCain sign the GI Bill?
The government's not putting a good message out there that it's support. It's that they're always saying they support the troops, but when you come back and your veterans' benefits barely cover your education, if it does at all, it's not really putting any weight behind those words.
They make it, they paint the picture perfect at the beginning, but then once you've done your time and everything, like, we don't know you.
While I was deployed overseas, I served as a supply specialist in a military police unit.
I was instructed for the Iraqi National Guardsmen, and my third tour I was a tank commander for my platoon.
I was in a Navy corpsman attached to 1st Marine Division as a rifle platoon corpsman. For my first deployment, I was in Najaf in 2004. We fought the Sadr militia in the Battle of Najaf in the Wadi Asalam Cemetery.
Done 8 years in the service. And out of those 8 years, I've been part of two major operations, Operation Enduring Freedom and Operation Iraqi Freedom.
I actually spent about 6 months in southern Iraq, moved up to Mosul for about a month and a half, and then the last 4 months were spent in the Diyala province north of Aqaba. When I enlisted, I was under the impression that my college would be paid for, that I would have nothing to worry about.
I was just told you're going to pretty much get your whole school paid for.
The current GI Bill is inadequate. It's not covered. It hasn't kept up with the cost of living or the cost of tuition or the cost of books. Well, what I'm given in the GI Bill every month is about $650.
Working, commuting to school, commuting to work, I mean, you still need to pay for your meals. You still need to pay for electricity.
The GI Bill doesn't cover my entire education. I mean, I'm in debt right now. It's a little different now. I have to look at things different, maybe not go to the schools that I want to because I can't afford it. Back in World War II, the vets that came home, their tuition and room and board and books and everything was fully covered by the GI Bill.
The Servicemen's Readjustment Act of 1944, better known as the GI Bill of Rights. Tuition is taken care of, funds are provided for laboratory fees, books, supplies, and equipment are included.
It's not the same as it was in World War II, I guess, with the benefits that we're getting today.
Senator Jim Webb, decorated Marine Vietnam veteran, has a new GI Bill that covers tuition to the price of a state college.
Bring the old GI Bill back and allow these young men and women, if they serve on active duty, to be able to exercise those GI benefits without paying into the system that they now have to pay into.
This seemed to me to be a no-brainer, a true and meaningful GI Bill benefit for those who've been serving since 9/11.
If the new bill passed, I think everybody will jump for joy.
It'll provide the people like me and veterans that are coming home and soldiers and sailors, Marines and airmen that are going overseas. It gives them peace of mind.
You'll see more veterans making a better life for themselves.
If the new bill passed and I got the education that I could out of it, then I could do pretty much anything, however high my aspirations are in life.
You answered the call when it came, took up arms for your country's sake, and fought to the limit of your ability.
I wouldn't have the faintest idea why a member of Congress wouldn't want to support this. If I could talk to John McCain, I would try to appeal to him as a fellow veteran. He should understand how hard it is for veterans to transition back into civilian life.
He should put himself on our shoes. A veteran himself, and then make the right choice.
Psst, do something.
And Building Bridges, your community and labor report, produced by Mimi Rosenberg and Ken Nash, goes out with another offering produced by Robert Greenwald, John McCain's hit single, Bomb Iran.
He has served his country in the military, the Congress, and the Senate. Now he serves America with song.
That old Beach Boys song, Bomb Iran.
Bomb, bomb, bomb.
Bomb Iran.
Bomb, bomb, bomb.
Bomb Iran.
Bomb, bomb, bomb.
Bomb Iran.
Bomb,
President Bush has talked about our staying in Iraq for 50 years.
Maybe 100. Maybe 100. Maybe 100. I'm sorry to tell you, there's going to be other wars. Other wars. Wars, wars. Other wars. Wars, wars, wars. Wars, wars, wars.
John McCain's platform, and it certainly looks inviting for the fall. He has promised less jobs and more wars.